Sunday the 3rd of March 2013, 9 o'clock service. Sermon series, Discipleship. Sermon title, Bearing Good Fruit. Talk by Roger Whip.
Is taken from Luke chapter 13 and can be found on page 736 of the Pew Bibles, and it's verses 1 to 9. Repent or perish. Now there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you too will all perish. All those 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you too will all perish." Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now, I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. Father God, may the words of Jesus inspire us. May they challenge us. And may they bless us as we come into a deeper relationship with you. Amen. Now, apart from our good looks, golf, having wives that are good cooks, both been police officers, and our love for God, Martin and I have something else in common. We were both qualified police instructors. As a firearm instructor, Martin taught police how to kill or to wound. And I, as a first aid instructor, taught how to try to resuscitate them, to bring them back and to heal their wounds. So if you like, slightly different. Both important jobs, though. Now, you may wonder what this has got to do with today's Bible reading. Well, there are several links that will hopefully become apparent as we look at this passage. Well, there are several links that say that should become apparent. Now, recently, Martin, in his sermon about 3 or 4 weeks ago, mentioned that when he trained as an instructor, one teaching aid was to get people asking questions and interactions. You know, getting people to ask questions was far better than just piling facts and figures at people. And today's reading is very much about asking questions. It starts with some of the crowd questioning if the Galileans slaughtered by Pilate had not only upset him, but maybe God as well. You know, reading between the lines, they must have been asking why God allowed this to happen. After all, weren't the Galileans at the time going through their ritual of sacrifice to God? And I guess really they're no different perhaps to you or me today when tragedy happens. You know, even people who don't normally believe in God may say, why did God allow that to happen? And likewise, in some certain situations, many might think, well, maybe they got their just desserts. For example, at the time in Haiti was flattened by a massive earthquake, which affected 5 million people. 80% of the population were not worshipping God of love, light and life, but they were worshipping voodoo, the prince of darkness and death. And it's also a recognised theory that AIDS could have spread two humans because of a man's unnatural act of bestiality with a chimpanzee or an ape, because they alone carried that disease. Now, apart from all the other wonderful gifts and attributes of Jesus, one thing for sure, he was the past master at being an instructor. He would knock both Martin and me into a cocked hat. I tell you, he would have used PowerPoint if it had been available to him in the day. And he certainly used many different illustrations, didn't he? Going on subjects of farming, shepherding, and food, as in this reading, you know, just to get his point across. And here, he also asked questions of the crowd. In verse 2, he said, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way?" You see, in ancient times such as these, it was often assumed that a calamity would befall only those who were extremely sinful. And this is borne out by the story of Job and Eliphaz when he falsely accused Job. And in John 9, verse 1 to 2, when the disciples asked Jesus this, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" You know, I love it when I see little snippets of Jesus' human side that could easily be overlooked. For example, in verse 4, when he aims another question at them, or those 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them, "Do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem?" I think in one way he was also saying, "Okay, come on, sling a bit more flack at me." You know, they probably had a little pop about why have these believers perished. Because he knew he could take it. Now, although neither the slaughter by Pilate of the innocents in Siloam are recorded elsewhere in the Bible, my research reveals the significance between these two events. The one with the crowd mentioned concerning the slaughter is because they went against the grain. They upset Pilate, who thought that only he should be worshipped as a god. And the second one relates to when the Romans used local labour to build a massive viaduct around Siloam. Now, although some may have been forced labour, hang on, that's better. Wonder what's happening there. Let's see. You know, people resented and condemned them for helping the Romans out, because they were, as we know, an army that had taken over the land. Now, Jesus is quite clear that none were any more sinners than any others. He is saying that all of us are sinners. All of us fall short of what God desires and expects of us. To God, as Bob mentioned the other week, sin is a sin, whether it be rape, murder, stealing the crown jewels, or even a pen from work, or breaking one of the first four commandments, which we all know, obviously, the four that relate to our relationship with God. And Jesus warns us that we all need to repent whilst we have the opportunity, before our deaths, whether they be untimely or otherwise. Okay, can you tell me the link between these three people? Those that sit in the back, serves you right, just sit near the front, but I hope you can see that. Anyone see the link? They're all bearing fruit. Carmen Miranda, Billy Graham, Mother Teresa. I'm not suggesting Carmen Miranda was a fruit of the spirit, but we don't know, do we? But certainly the other two, I think you can see, displayed some fruit of the spirit. Which brings us on to the second and equally important part of our reading. And at first I thought perhaps these are sort of like two different parts, but they're not. They're as one, and I understand why now. The non-fruit-bearing fig tree. Some theologians, and I think rightly, link this passage to Mark 11, verse 14, where the day after Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem, only moments before he threw out the moneylenders out and the traders out of the temple, he was hungry, and he went up to a fig tree, but he found no fruit. There was plenty of lovely leaves, but no fruit. So he cursed that tree, and within 24 hours, that tree was dead. Now, although Jesus' observation and criticism in our reading is primarily aimed at the Jewish nation at the time, it is of equal importance to us today as both individuals and, I believe, as a church. God and the Word of God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Okay, one bit more of interaction. I know you're not used to this at 9 o'clock, so do forgive me. And you may not be able to see this quite so well, but it's the best I could do. Can anyone tell me the link between these delicious-looking fruits? You've got pears, apples, cherries, plums, a bit of rhubarb, apricots, oh, and a little bottle of poison down the bottom. Anyone know the link? Close. No, it's asters, actually. No? Nobody know? They all contain poison. So if you learnt nothing else this morning, that's something else that you've learnt, isn't it? And before you sling any flack at me about five-a-day guidelines, let me explain. The pips or the leaves of some of these wonderful-looking fruits are poisonous, and as poisonous as that poison in the bottle. Yes, the amount you need to kill you varies enormously between the fruits, but all are potentially lethal. You see, although both the fig trees that Jesus speaks of look great from a distance, they were upright and they were displaying many leaves, the reality is, without the fruit, they're useless. A waste of space in the vineyard. How do we distinguish a Christian from rows of church-going people planted like trees in pews at any church on a Sunday? Is it that they're dressed up to look the part in their Sunday best? Or maybe it's because they can sing with such gusto and in tune. I hope that's not it, because then I'm out of the equation, aren't I, really? Maybe we can even see them using certain gifts. Make no mistake, I passionately believe in all the gifts of the Spirit, and I long for them to be used in abundant measure. However, I believe the definitive measure of whether a Christian, or someone is a Christian, is how much fruit of the Spirit are they displaying as listed in Galatians 5, 22-23. How much love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, generosity, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. And that's not the end of the list, that's what's listed, but oh, I'm sure even more gifts than that. How much are they showing? Surely there must be at least a glimpse of some of them, if not all of them. Hey, who am I to judge? I know that I would never win first prize in the summer fete where they had a fruit and veg display. You know, I only know too well that just as an apple can become battered and bruised as we travel through life with all its ups and downs, trials and tribulations and temptations, all of us can get battered and bruised. Even a few evil maggots can eat away at us. But the good news is that Jesus reminds us in today's powerful reading, although we are all sinners, none of us are beyond his saving grace if we truly repent. And that means not just saying sorry, But it means a complete U-turn, a change around, and turn to him. He alone can remove the maggots, repair the bruising, and restore us to be the apple of his eye. If we allow ourselves to receive his healing and saving power. An interesting fact about fig trees. They're seldom planted in a vineyard. Vineyards are primarily for vines, hence the word vineyard. They grow in a different soil condition. You know, fig trees abroad often grow wild along roadways or gardens. And if you plant a fig tree and you want a good, abundant fruit, you need to contain its roots. Unlike most plants, we think the bigger, the better the root, the stronger the plant. Now, borne out, because I'm not a gardener, but I've done my research, all right, borne out by BBC Video, when planting a fig tree, place something like concrete slabs around the roots to stop them going wayward, going their own way. And this transfers most of the goodness upwards towards the fruit. And that's when you get good fruit. Now, I think we need to carefully listen to the message in Jesus' stark illustration. Although God, like the owner of the tree, is patient and he's willing to give us more time, there comes a time when he might cut us down too if we lack any fruit. Maybe Jesus is like the gardener saying to God, look, give me another year with this person. Let me contain their roots, their wayward ways. And let me plant them in a place where they can be fed and nourished, not with fertilizer, but with spiritual nourishment. You know, it's a challenge as an individual. But it's also a challenge and a great responsibility for the church. We need to support and encourage each other with our Christian understanding and growth. None of us have fully arrived yet, and you won't till you get to heaven. I started off telling you about Martin and I being instructors. Now, although a number of my bosses encouraged me to become what we call an authorised shot, a trained gunman, they thought I had the right calm attitude. Apparently you need that. Say no more. I declined for various reasons. I won't go into it, but I didn't feel it was me. However, I must say that I admire anyone who takes on that responsibility. You know, I get so mad, I'm sure Martin does, and Tony, if he was here, he also would agree. You know, I get so mad when police are accused of killing people, whether with a gun or a taser. I'll tell you which I'd rather be shot with. A taser, you've got quite a good chance of surviving. You see, police are trained to kill. You hear stupid, uninformed comments like, oh, he only had a replica gun, or they wouldn't have hurt a fly. Listen, flies can kill. They carry disease. And most of you, I tell you now, if I put a replica gun in your hand and you examined it closely, you would not tell the difference between that and a real gun. Authorised shots have to make life and death decisions, often from quite a distance, to save primarily the lives of those people that they serve, yes, you, the public, and as well as themselves. We live in an ever-increasing godless society. And I don't want to appear racist, but this is a fact that nearly all Jamaican Yardies and the Somalian gangs are armed and they freely roam around in our society. There is a threat of terrorism, not only from the Islamic fundamentalists, but also the real IRA, as they like to be known, who are rearing their ugly heads again. When I was in the police force, I had to deal a lot with the IRA uptown. Forgiveness is a wonderful thing, but there is always a consequence to sin. Sometimes it can lead to physical death. There's examples in both the Old and the New Testament. Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis 19. and Ananias and Sapphira in Acts 5. Examples where God did take a deathly retribution. Not a popular preaching point. Some of you probably say, oh, here he goes again. You know, many churches will avoid such things because of today's ever-changing world. People only want to hear nice things. Far easier and more acceptable to just to preach on God's love, grace and mercy. The Galileans and the Siloam construction workers may have died by malice or chance. You know, accidents and terrorist killings often caused random fatalities. However, the fig tree mentioned by Jesus in this very stark illustration will die expressly because of an inactivity and unproductiveness. We will be judged according to the opportunities that we have taken or perhaps we did not take, as the case may be. The parable teaches that nothing will survive that merely takes out and gives nothing in return. That is the definition of a parasite. I'd rather be a Christian than a parasite. I don't know about you. True, we all draw strength and substance from a soul that's not our own. It's from God's grace. But we are to bear fruit so that others may draw from us. The parable teaches that we may get a second chance, or a third, or even more. I've heard it preached many times. I'm a Christian in the Catholic Church. And people keep going along just with their confessions and Hail Marys, and they go and do the same thing week after week after week. But eventually comes that final chance. And will we know which chance is the final one? Some of us, you know, like an authorised shot, need to make a quick life or death decision and ask the question, where am I with Christ? Have I allowed the fruit of the Spirit to change me? I know I've got a long, long way to go. I may have glimpses of some of those things I read out. Some I have to ask a question, have I got any of those? You know, I need more of God's power and Spirit within me. And I guess many of you do as well. We must ask ourselves this question. Have I allowed the fruit of the Spirit to change me? And I want to finish with a quote that's attributed to Abraham Lincoln. You can fool some of the people all of the time. And all of the people, some of the time. But you cannot fool all of the people all of the time. And I add to that. Be warned, because none of us can ever fool God any of the time. Amen.